In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. And it is a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I want to go back to our collect for this morning. And as you may recall, when I preach, I look initially for some guidance in the collect, because I think when they pulled the language of the collect together, they knew the lessons that were going to follow. And there was one sentence that caught my attention this week, and it reads, "Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection." Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It's got some really comfortable words in it and so forth. And as I started to contemplate the words for this morning, I realized that I was going to be preaching in the middle of our Episcopal Church General Convention, which is assembled right now in Austin, Texas. A group of bishops, clergy, lay people who get together and every 3 years and determine somewhat the future of the Episcopal Church, including things like changing some language in our liturgy and that sort of thing. And when I realized that initially, I said, I'd really rather not preach around that. And then I happened to catch very briefly a quick news clip, if you will, or I should say, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, on Fox News, being challenged by one of the commentators and an evangelical pastor on some of the changes that were proposed, by the way, not certainly passed yet. And those being the language in the prayer book and the liturgy. And they were all but attacking our presiding bishop with, so you don't believe God's the Father anymore? You know, you want to take away all this language? So on. Let's not get in that this morning. The bishop went in his marvelous way, turned that right around as he should, and reminded anybody who might be watching that he still says the Lord's Prayer and believes in the God that is in the Holy Trinity. And I said, okay, now how am I going to use that this morning? And then I realized how important his reference to the Spirit that is in the Holy Trinity. The Spirit of God in the form of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But more importantly, that God that he believes in, that is present in his life today, and that he defines often as love. So we look back at our collect this morning, and there's this reference to pure affection. Devoted to one another in pure affection. That's the love that pulls us together. Okay, well, we can preach about that for a while, but how many times have we preached about love? And I realize that part of the key of this whole collect and the lesson, especially the gospel this morning, was around this concept of the grace that is in the Holy Spirit, the grace that is in the Spirit. I thought, okay, maybe I'll tell one of those stories about my life. And then, actually, this morning, when I turned on the news, I had the second major event that I could use this morning to talk about love and the Spirit. I don't know if any of you saw this image, but the three monks who arrived at the scene of the cave in Thailand, where they're saving these soccer players and their coach. And I remember feeling a sense of the Spirit, because so much of the news we'd gotten out of that was all, how are we going to get the oxygen down and how are we going to do that? And fortunately, the news people picked up on the arrival of the monks, which apparently has occurred every day since they discovered that these children were in this cave. I believe, because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, that God is present right this very minute. And for those who may not have caught the news this morning, they've already brought out at least two boys this morning. They are four now. Okay, let's hope it's six before we finish. Let's hope all of them get out. But therein lies the presence of the Spirit. What has sustained these boys and their coach over what is now at least 2 weeks that they've been in this cave? And what has sustained those who are there to rescue them? I believe it is our God, the God, the Spirit is that's there for those of us that believe. Those who of us who have experienced the grace of the Holy Spirit. Let's back up for a minute. What happened in this morning's gospel? Jesus is in the temple teaching. And for all intents and purposes, the people who grew up with him, his neighbors, and Mark would have us believe his brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters possibly in a broad context, but more importantly, his church family, his synagogue, are, for all intents and purposes, rejecting him. He's had the experience of healing. He's brought at least one person back to life who was thought to be dead. He's healed many, and yet his own neighbors, his original family, original in the sense that the worshiping family, not the holy family, hopefully, they are rejecting him. Who is this guy? Who is he to come and tell us about the scripture? It's a mystery, isn't it? However, if we reflect on our own lives, how often have we experienced hearing somebody that maybe we had grown up with or somebody we had become comfortable relying on what they had to say, their direction, only to be hearing words and say, well, wait a minute, he or she is wrong about that. Only to realize if we are so familiar with the presenter that we hear the words, but we miss the message, don't we? I had a therapist at one point when I was struggling with relationships. We've all done that, haven't we? And this therapist suggested to me, David, don't listen to the words, listen to the music. What's going on behind the scene? I suspect that the congregation in Jesus' time was so focused on the law, what they had read time and time again, that they weren't getting the message that Jesus had to deliver, the message about love, how love was working, how he was able to heal because of the grace and the presence of the Spirit. But what does Jesus do? He acknowledges in his humanness that he can't strike the Spirit into anybody. He can't make you believe. He can heal those who do believe, but he can't make everybody a believer. So those who are already predetermined in their determination that Jesus is not who he says he is, are beyond healing for Jesus at that point. So he moves on. He goes forward and he takes his ministry and his work out to another community. Now, that's the first half of the gospel. The second half of the gospel, after some period of time, we don't really know, but he is then sending forth his disciples and giving them authority to heal, to teach, to anoint. And what does he tell them? He sends them out two by two. A wonderful image, I think, because when we all go out to do the work we are asked to do by Jesus, we need to have the sense that there are others there with us working. To do it by myself can be a real challenge. When I have a partner doing that, when I go to visit the sick in the hospital, it's always a little easier if I have a companion with me to share those moments. Not absolutely essential. More importantly, he explains to them what he has asked them to do. Go out and anoint, go out and heal, go out and forgive. And then he says, if by any chance you experience what we did back in Nazareth, if in fact you are not received well, if you run into non-believers, leave. And he suggests that they knock the sand, the dust off their sandals and leave that place. I choose to interpret that in the following way. It goes like this. Whatever you do, if you've been rejected, don't take that to heart. Don't go out with resentments. Shake that feeling off before you leave. Leave it behind. Because that lack of belief is not your problem. That's the other person's problem or the other group's problem. Yes, if you happen to be the one who's witnessing this because you've rejected the person and the dust is being shaken off that person's sandals, you're probably going to be offended, especially at the time of Jesus. That was a symbol, you know, shake off the, leave it all behind. But I think that that gives us the strength to go forward so that we don't take it personally and carry that forward. That ultimately translates as the presence of the Spirit in us. Our ability to accept that not everybody is going to accept the words of our mouth. Not everybody will listen to the music that we're making. But I can't take responsibility for that. That's up to the other person. I would suggest that as our, and bring this back into a current day context, those who are in Austin, Texas, who are considering, by the way, can you imagine this? They're together for, I think it's 12 days. Somewhere up online, I saw that they were considering 374 resolutions. Pray for them. Pray for all of us that they have continued commitment, devoted to the Spirit that brought them there, and that their decisions will reflect a common love for all of us. That we may all, regardless of our race, our religion, our upbringing, our language, whatever it is, that the decisions that they make will be welcomed by all of us. Because the purpose of that is to make it easier, to make it more comfortable for all of us to invite in that Spirit. So that if you're Spanish speaking, you can experience that the same way, and my words as the same way that the English-speaking folks can, and regardless of that. by the way, is one of the considerations is, and even within the convention itself, they are attempting to have all of the documents, all of the language that's being used at convention be both English and Spanish, so that they can raise up the participation by the Spanish-speaking who are present, keeping in mind that the Episcopal Church is broader than the United States, so that there are other languages which are native to many of the people. I ramble on. My hope is, and I pray, that as we go through this day and we go through this week, that we might focus on that sense of the presence, the grace of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. That we may be committed to the understanding of love. That affection that comes out of being devoted to the message of Jesus Christ. And certainly as we intercess today, that we would hold up those children and their coach who are being rescued from the cave, that that may go well for all. And also, we would raise up in our prayers those who are participating in the General Convention, that the results of their work together will be seen as loving and caring, and opening us all up to better appreciate our neighbors and those with whom we interact daily. Amen.